Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have tuned in on today, and we're in for another treat on today from the Word of the Lord. Come on in and just make yourself at home and grab your Bible and get you a pen and paper as you take some notes. We have an exciting lesson from our series around the beauty of holiness. I don't know about you, but I have just been tremendously blessed by going back over and looking at the beautiness of holiness and being holy before the Lord our God, and how God's beauty of His holiness is just full of splendor and joy and His righteousness. On this today, we'll be talking about, again, another aspect of holiness. That aspect will be perfection and progression of holiness. And so we're going to be looking at this, that the spiritual growth and the ongoing progress of the child of God, as we must desire to be like Christ. Now let's take a look. Today, our scripture reference is going to be taking place out of several different places on today. First, we're going to be looking at 2 Peter 3 and 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, 1 Thessalonians verses number 4, verses 1 through 10, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. And so we're going to be looking at those on today as for our scripture foundation. And I'm going to read those in your hearing. So come on in, make yourself right at home as we walk through the Word on today. The first scripture that we're looking at is over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 18. And it reads on this line: but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 states, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereof. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of the concupiscence, even as the Gentile which knew not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, as we have forewarned you and testify, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God and to love one another. And indeed, ye do it towards all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Now let's look at Hebrews 6, verses number 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and the laying on the hand, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. If God permit. And so far, the reading of the scripture for our lesson today. What a formidable task that Moses faced when God commissioned him to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. First, Egypt rulers did not want to let the Israelites go. In battle between Pharaoh and Moses, God's power was constantly exhibited, and the Lord, by strength of hand, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we'll find that over in Exodus 13 and 3. And I want to stop there and just expound and want you to recognize God wants to exhibit his power. And by the strength of his hand, is he going to walk the victory on your behalf. And I want you to recognize that it's coming from God. God is going to do it. And watch God just step in and change the situation on your behalf because you are acknowledging God. During the time God was effecting his people's deliverance, a strange thing occurred. The plagues fell on Egypt, but not on Israel. The reason, that you may know how that the Lord do put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. And you'll find that in the Old Testament in Exodus 11 and 7. God made a separation between his people and the ungodly world out of which he called them. Pharaoh finally agreed to let the Israelites leave Egypt. But after that they left, he changed his mind. He decided he was not going to loose his slaves, so he and his army pursued them. Then God moved again to separate his people from the Egyptian. The pillar of cloud came between the camp of the Egyptian and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all that night. And we find that over in Exodus 14 and 20. So God put a difference between the Egyptian and Israel. And so we want to recognize that. So in their first battle in route the promised land, God shielded his people by separating wall. Israel came out of Egypt as a type of the church coming out of the world. And Satan does not want to let people go from their sin, and which is the prisons to them that hold them captive and bound. He wants them to slave for them like a blind, the blind Samson did. But Jesus went to Calvary to secure the keys of death and hell. And you see Revelation 1 and 18. Though Satan tries to detain us, Jesus' mighty power has prevailed and delivered. To save us from falling back into Satan's clutches, God has put a difference between us and the world, and a separation and a line that is dividing, like the white linen fence around the tabernacle that kept his people safe from the world. The biblical standards of holiness separate us from the world of sin and even death. The converts leave their sinful life behind and begin a journey towards a new city and indwelling righteousness of God. And so many times we must recognize that those standards are very similar to the fence that was erected and put around the tabernacle that separated the people from the Egyptian, that was with a separation there. And so we'll look at that as we progress along in our lesson today. It's that after God fed Israel from Egypt's clutches, or freed them from Egypt's clutches, Moses discovered a greater problem. Israel had left Egypt, but Egypt remained in Israel. And it took about 10 days to get Israel out of Egypt, but it took about 40 years to get Egypt out of the children of Israel. And after a few weeks following the Lord and seeing his miracle, the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai, and Moses ascended to the peak to talk with God for 40 days. Upon his return, he found Israel worshiping the God of Egypt. the golden calf. Their jewelry had become their god. When they dread to worship an idol god, the doors to other sins was open. They began to dance and party, and these activities led to sexual immorality. When he saw the people transgressors, Moses became very angry. Holiness had been God's exterior boundary of protection, and when God's spokesman Moses lingered on in the mountain with God, the people reverted to the worship of idols. They came to a time in their life that they just reverted back unto the old ways. And so we as children of God, you must be careful of what's pulling at you so that you will not revert back to the old ways, because there is a separation. There is a standard that is separating from the believers and the non-believers. There comes a time when I walk with God that our conviction will be tested without our pastor's influence around us to help us. This is when we learn that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Jeremiah 17:9, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25, some people will fail and return back to the life of sin, but those who are filled with the Spirit will turn to God with all their heart and allow the Holy Spirit to guide them towards a greater understanding of truth. That's John 14:26. And the Bible said over in John 16:13, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. These times of testing comes to grow us spiritually and mature, and we develop our own personal and inner convictions. Holiness must be in both the head and the heart. It is more than just a mental assent. It is also an affection of what is pure, wholesome, and godly. From the heart, we must love God's ways of living. And so God have a prescribed way, and with our whole heart, mind, and soul, then God, we're able to see and walk out and see more maturity even in our lives in the things of God. Now, let's look at the next point, a call for growth. Now, God is looking for us to grow and to mature in God and in the things of God. He didn't bring us out that we may be stagnated or stay in that same place when we first came into the church or first given our life to God or when we were born again. He wants us to progress. God wants us to progress in our walk with God. It said, when we come to God, some of us were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, even dabbled in homosexuality, blasphemers, social rebellion, troublemakers, thieves, and drunkards. We was all those are involved in some type of behavior that God was not pleased with. Over in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, born in sin, we were lost and undone, bound for hell, and eternity doomed from God's presence. But a loving God saw us in our filthiness and gave us the opportunity of a brand new start. Wonders of wonders. We can be born again. How? First, we must die and our past be utterly repudiated. This is the repentance, when we repent and turn away from the things that is not pleasing unto God. We talked about the works of the flesh. We talked about variance. We talked about reveling and envy, and we talked about all of the works of the flesh as well. Turn away from those things. And as we turn away from those things, we must be washed and cleansed from our sins. This happened when we are baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sin. And finally, we are sanctified and made holy when we receive the Holy Ghost. Over in Acts 2:38, this is the new birth experience. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and 2. After we experience salvation, we study God's Word to understand the basic plan of salvation. Like a baby, we are in a accelerated growth period and things, and we love the Word, have a desire for the Word, and the basic doctrine which devolve into the area of the Word of God. And here Hebrews 6 and 1 state, therefore, leaving the principle of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. The way to advance towards the perfection of God is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and 18, we must grow in that grace. Let's look at another point, because we are called to grow. God is expecting us to grow. Now let's look at holiness and growth. Our should be our goal. When a newborn babe is born, it's generally difficult to assert whether the child will resemble mom or dad or even the grandparents. As it grows, prominent characteristics appear. The heredity traits are proudly proclaimed, and the world recognize in the child his physical heritage. The new birth is a spiritual birth, John 3 and 5. As time progresses, we grow in the Spirit. The more we grow, the more we resemble our Heavenly Father. We will look holy, act holy, and progress inward towards holy, like our Holy Father of God. This does not come naturally because of our carnal nature. It comes because through His Spirit, God has imparted His holy nature in us. He sanctified us at a point of salvation and placing the potential of growth in His holiness as we journey toward our eternal home. Over in 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verses 3 and 7 state, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." So God has called us unto holiness, not uncleanliness. And sanctification is to make holy, sanctify, purify, to set apart and consecrate and sanctify, the state of being consecrated to a God. Now, number two, separation. The separation of the believer from the evil things and ways. You find that over in Bynes, Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Word. God has chosen us to be a peculiar treasure in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. It is His will for us to be like Him, going from what we were to what He desired us to be in Him requires growth in holiness. Our sanctification is the will of God, and God is calling us to holiness. How the flesh rebelled while the Spirit within rejoiced. Those who do not have the Holy Ghost are sometimes hesitant about holiness and have difficulty accepting and understanding its motivation and purpose. Why holiness? Why holiness? The reason we practice holiness is that we serve a holy God. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourself and be ye holy, for I am holy. And you'll find that over in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44. We must be like Him, to be accepted of Him, so that it is our goal. The Holy Ghost inside us produces the evidence of holiness outwardly. The longer we are children of God and continue to grow in Christ, the less of the flesh will be visible to the world, and the more Christ will shine through our life and exude through our life. Now, let's take another look here. The progression in growth. Our method, how would that take place in our lives? Let's take a look at that, how that will take place in the progression of that growth, because it's important for the children of God. In Luke 2:52, we notice two areas of growth in the life of Christ. natural and spiritual growth. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor and with God and with man. True holiness followed the same pattern we see in Jesus. After we are born again, we will grow in holiness outwardly, and we will grow in holiness mentally and inwardly. In our physical being, we grow until adulthood and then stop. But we never to cease growing mentally and spiritually. Spiritual growth begins with our new birth, and it begins to manifest itself outwardly as we learn that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And you'll see that over in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19. We quit the habit of sin that defile our bodies, knowing that God will destroy those who defile his temple. As the new believers learn and grow, he stopped using tobacco, stopped drinking alcohol beverage, and using different things that will not be pleasing unto God. His new nature responds to the word of God that teaches him to live godly in this world. We are to learn to appreciate the holiness guideline, passing it to by our elders and applied by the biblical principle. Even in this modern culture and activity of life, God is still yet calling for holiness. He have not changed from being holy. His characteristics, his attributes is still yet holy. Be ye holy even as I am holy. Amen. And yes, we believe in holiness as unto the Lord. We learn that the holiness is more than the outward appearance and behavior, for it is of the mind, of the heart, holiness of heart, and holiness of our soul as we walk with God. It involves discipline, the application of God's command to how we think, feel, and conduct ourselves. God give us the nature and potential of holiness, but we are to bring into captivity the desires and lusts and our thoughts of our mind. And so it's up to us to bring in those desires, our lust, and the thoughts of our mind under subjection unto God. We have the tremendous task and opportunity to develop the inward man of the Spirit. We grow in the Spirit and bear fruit of the Spirit. We can enhance our love for one another. We learn about our operation of the gift of the Spirit. We expand in love. We grow in mercy and grace and the truth. And all to our joy and God's great pleasure and delight as we grow in the attributes of God. We never need to cease from growing when it comes to the inward man or the inward person. We are to constantly grow. There is always room for improvement. Someone said the largest room in the world is the room for improvement. And in God, the room seems always to become larger as we grow in him. Now let's look at Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And this is it. By renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God is calling us to renew our mind. We must do that. God will not do that before us and things. And that's why that holiness is a state of mind and a state of heart and your soul. Growth starts with the inside by the new birth and brings changes to the outside. We do not become holy because we obey God, but we are made holy by God so that we will obey him. We are made holy by God. After Jesus entered our life, we learned that his standards of holiness reflects what he created in us, and that is his Spirit. And we appreciate these protective guidelines to keep us from reverting back to the ways of sin. As we grow into the spiritual adulthood, we look back and thank our spiritual parents or for the rules and that we once did not understand, because what that did, it gave us boundaries, and it gave us guidelines and direction to be able to be holy and not revert back to the old man and to the old way of life. And even though we didn't like it, as we were being taught it, and it went against our own fleshly nature, but as we surrendered our hearts and minds to the will and the plan of God, now we can see and look back and thank God that God kept us, and we can praise God for what we, out of our obedience to the word of God and surrendering to the things of God, now we can see the greater manifestation of God, his fruit of his spirit exuding in and through our lives, and the things that God has protected us from. We can rejoice and be exceeding glad of the mercies and the kindness of God, of being so gracious and being so kind. Can you just shout hallelujah? Why holiness? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of us should know how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, after you've given your life to the Lord, you must possess your vessel, or in essence, carry yourself in sanctification and honor. You must carry yourself in that posture of sanctification, separated, and of honor unto the Lord our God. And just like you carrying a special vase to its destination, so must we carry ourselves in that reverence and in that sanctification and holiness. And that's where the difference comes in, of sanctification and holiness. And I pray that gives you greater understanding, child of God, about holiness, because many people say, well, I'm not from the holiness church. Well, God is holy, and he's calling us to sanctify, to carry ourselves and possess our vessel in sanctification and honor and holiness. And God is holy. And so we are to be holy. He's calling us to be holy. Look at your Bible over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. It's not denominations or faith communities, but it is an attribute that God is calling everybody to, all of his children to. And things, no matter what denomination you're coming from, he's calling us all to be, carry ourselves in sanctification and honor, and be holy, for he is holy. Amen. He's a holy God. We learn how to take care of our temple and our bodies. We receive instructions of his words, and we order our steps to walk in harmony with the instruction. Don't you know, child of God, after you've been born again, you got to literally order your steps, saying mentally in your heart and in your soul that I'm going to walk upright before God. That's ordering your steps. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You're ordering your steps. Where are you going to go? I'm not going to go to the places that is going to offend God, but I'm going to do what brings glory and honor unto him. Now, it's not to say that we can't go anywhere, but if you know that that's a place that's going to bring offense to God, then I would say don't go, because we are sanctified and holy. Amen. And set aside from this world unto God. If you know that being in that club or going to the club is an offense, which it is, and thing, then don't go, because that is not where God wants to be and want you to go. Now let's take a look here. It says, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, we should glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits, which belongs to God. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 20. That's why it's key. Your body's not your own when you give your life to the Lord. And things, you have been bought with a precious price. You are his prized possession. Yes, you are his prized possession. And things, because he's purchased you, your salvation, and you belong to him. We need ministers to teach how to glorify God with our body and how to avoid glorifying the flesh. We should ask ourselves, do people see me or do they see Christ in me? We need instruction to be able to bring our spirit up under subjection to his spirit and shine so that the Holy Spirit can shine through our lives. And let's look here. How do we progress in holiness? First of all, we read the Holy Bible and reference it and practice its precepts. Most people in the world do not know what God's word says about being holy. And as we read the word of God, we should allow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, to guide us into all truth. John 16 and 13. We should be sensitive and quick to obey when we discover the truth of the word of God. And one of the things that the adversary will have you to say is that, you know, I don't understand what I'm reading when you come to reading the Bible. But you know what? All you have to do is just ask God, Lord, when I read this Bible, I want you to open up my understanding. Give me clarity about your word. If you don't understand things about the holiness of God, Lord, give me understanding. If that's what you want for my life, Lord, give me understanding about your holiness that I may be pleasing unto you, that I can walk up right before you and be the man and woman of God that you're calling me out to be, because I want to take on your attributes, God, that you're calling me to. And things, and as you begin to invite God and allow God to strengthen you in those areas, guess what? He will, because you opened the door and allowed God to do it. There are those who will despise holiness. Their carnal nature refuses to yield to God's requirement. And this is when they grieve the Holy Ghost, who is trying to seal them from the corruption unto the day of redemption. Don't you know God is trying to seal you in things and to say you are mine and to keep you unto the day of redemption when he comes and meet us in the cloud and things and rapture his church out. God has called everyone to holiness. Those who refuse his holiness will eventually fall from his grace and enter into greater error and further away from God. Those who embrace the truth of God and walk in his grace shall continue to grow in holiness. This growth may take time and practice, but it cannot be ignored. We are preparing for that day when Christ will present his glorious church to himself, a people who have no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and holy and without blemish, according to Ephesians 5 and 2. And no, we can't do it by ourselves, but Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price that it may be so for each and every one of life, everyone, whosoever will, let them come. Amen. It is God's have made provision for everyone. And the Bible will say we're inexcusable, old man. And oh, woman, we're inexcusable because God has already made the provision. Will you receive the provision that God has? I invite you to consider the provisions of God that have already been established. Now, let's look at Christ, our foundation. Many people view holiness as a set of rules espoused by a particular organization to express their holiness. We must recognize that holiness is the inward man. It's the changing of the inward man and outwardly both the heart and behavior and things is going to change. Amen. They're a new creation of living a new kind of life. They have turned from sin to the Savior, from darkness to light, from ungodly behavior to righteous living. They are no longer liars, but now the word of truth is living within them, and they're speaking the truth in love. They are no longer thieves, but they are now honest with all people. The Old Testament is not built on legalism, but on the mercies of God. The fault was not in the law given to Moses, but in the sinful nature of the people. The law had no remedy for the fallen nature. So God gave the law to reveal the exceeding sinfulness of humanity and the need for a Savior, Jesus Christ himself. And so the child of God is not under the law of sin, but up under grace. For grace is not a give a license for a person to sin. Rather, it is motivating power and inward strength that make it possible for us not to sin. And so here, when we look at that word, the Old Testament is a type of the New Testament experience. It is our teacher to bring us to Christ. For an example, the New Testament tells us that the event in Israel history are an example for us, that even the failures teaches us not to lust after evil as they lusted. Now, all these things happen unto them for an example that are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world are come. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. We learn from the Old Testament what God likes and dislikes. Although many of the laws were types and shadow of good things to come, Hebrews 10 and 1, they could not bring a person to perfection. People tried it in the Old Testament to please God, but they did not have the Holy Ghost within to empower them to do so. And that's key, because the Holy Ghost that is within is able to empower us to do that which God is calling us and requiring of us as children of God to do. It said, although we are not required to live by the demands of the law given to the nation of Israel, the moral principle behind these rules are still valid today. For example, one of the Ten Commandments say we are not to kill. The New Commandment said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And that's 1 John 3:15. If the Old Testament laws were not the very image of the things which God expected, how much more should we serve the real purpose and law of God, which is holiness? For example, the Old Testament priest was commanded to wear mitres upon their heads with the inscription, holiness to the Lord, emblazoned on the front. That the command may be the type of the New Testament preacher who is hold holiness high before the people, and the holiness of God is so important for us as children of God and is relevant for the people of God today. Why is all the scripture profitable then? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good work. 2 Timothy 3 and 17. Old Testament people could not be perfect or complete without New Testament church. But we of the New Covenant, through the power and leading of the Holy Ghost, can achieve what God, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5 and 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So see also Hebrews 11 and 40. Jesus said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophet. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribe and of the Pharisee, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5 and 17 and 20. Jesus did not eliminate the principle that helped mankind to have a relationship with God. He came to save us and to show us how to live without yielding to temptation. He came to complete what God had begun in the Old Testament. We can now live a life free of sin and pleasing to God. We can fulfill God's expectation of holiness in our daily living. Yes, our life will exceed the religiosity of the Pharisees, whose pride was in their righteousness. Our hope is not in ourselves, but in God's righteousness, being the righteous judge, being the righteous God that he is. Our affects towards holiness are not motivated by self-righteousness, but by our love for Jesus Christ and our desire to be like him and to please him. The Pharisee was motivated by the carnal pride and religious statue. We are motivated by God's grace and holiness in our heart. We should ask ourselves, am I building my belief and conviction on the right foundation, or am I motivated by carnality and religious affiliation and position? Do I genuinely desire to be like Jesus? And that's a question that we must ask ourselves. Do we genuinely want to be like Jesus? Amen. Let's look here over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. It states, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, and wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he shall destroy, God shall destroy. For the temple of God is holy. Which temple are ye? Let not man deceive himself. Let no man deceive himself. Amen. And see, that's 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 18. In the progression towards perfection in holiness is necessary. Or are we making an issue out of something unimportant? Well, the scriptures reveal that we shall know be known by our fruit. Matthew 7 and 20. Simply said, whatever is on the inside is revealed and identified by the fruit produced on the outside. You identify a tree by its leaves and fruit, visible evidence. The Holy Ghost on the inside will reveal by the outward flesh being under subjection to the desires of God. God will judge in that day by whether or not we obey his word and did his will. People who refuses to bring their body and the temple of God under subjection to holiness will find themselves lost at the judgment seat of God. We should not deceive ourselves into thinking that spiritual works which we have accomplished will save. We can only be saved by the grace of God, and we can only know his grace through obedience to his word. Yes, progression towards perfecting holiness is necessary. Christ laid the foundation upon which we are to build. Failure to build upon the foundation of holiness will bring God's judgment, rejection, and destruction. And so we must build upon that foundation and progress in the things of God. Now, let's look at our final point here. Christ being our example and following his step and his mind formed in us. And let us take a look over these last few minutes as what God is talking about and had in mind for us. There was a man by the name of Charles M. Sheldon who wrote a book entitled In His Steps, which he tells the story of a pastor and five of his most influential parishioners as they embarked on a year-long experience. Each promised to conduct their lives according to the question or answer the question, what would Jesus do? What will happen if every Christian lived by that principle when we conduct ourselves? How would Jesus do this today? When we start to go somewhere, when we will pause and ask, can Jesus go with me there? The psalmist David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Psalms of 101 and 3. And that's why we must be careful, children of God, of what we're setting before even our eyes. Even the psalmist said, I will not set no wicked things before our eyes. And we do know that things, the wicked things are everywhere and around. But we have choices, children of God, in things to whether to affix our attention upon that or not in things. And when we begin to ask ourselves those, would Jesus do this? What can I use to judge what I listen to or read and things? Paul the Apostle gave the Philippians an 8-point test. And he said, and this is the 8-point test, child of God, that you can use when you begin to say, should I do this or should I not? And you can say, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Does it have virtue? And does it have excellence or praiseworthy? And you can begin to take yourself through those points and begin to ask as a measure or as a frame to say, well, does it fit within this frame in things of those truth, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous? Is it going to add strength and things, or is it going to take away and things? And when you begin to take it through those tests, and if it failed, then you may want to move away from it and say, well, I don't want to have a part of that. If Jesus paid a surprise visit and he will someday, when he will come again, what will he find us doing? Will we have our the things that's pleasing to him in our lives, or will we have to run in shame and things? But we must come back and focus that the progression towards holiness leads towards perfection. We never attain perfection, especially in this life, but we strive in that direction. James wrote, if any man offend not in words, the same is a perfect man and that's able to bridle the whole body. And so we have to be careful what we say in things so that we won't offend and things. James 3 and 2 said that. We can all strive to reach that goal, progressing in holiness as long as we live here, even on earth. Now let's look at the final point. His mind formed in us. How can we develop a mental area with inner holiness? Let us follow the example of Jesus. And we're going to look at 3 points. That first point, he made himself of no reputation. And let's take a look at that over in Philippians 2 and 7. We'll let you know. This approach is the direct opposite today's humanistic me approach. It also let us recognize that we're looking that Jesus had all of his majesty at his disposal, for he was God manifested in the flesh. Yet he set his majesty to the side to save us. Holiness is found in a person's humble opinion of himself and in his unlimited exaltation of God. The world approach, however, is the opposite. They exalt flesh and minimize God. And so we must exalt God and make no reputation of our own. But yes, we will be in the forefront. Yes, we will be doing things, but we're constantly giving the glory and honor unto God. Amen. Because God was the one that was able to strengthen us and fortify us. Let's look at point number 2. Jesus humbled himself. Philippians 2 and 8. When we are mature, we have the ability to say no to ourselves. We recognize when our flesh is putting on a show and desiring attention, and we bring our flesh into subjection unto God and things, and unto submission unto God. And the writer of the old caution, he that have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls and just exposed. And you'll find that over in Proverbs 25 and 28 and things. We must have rule over our own spirit. It's not what sis did. It's not what my brother did. It's not how they reacted to us or did or what they did. But How do you have rule over your spirit and thing? Do you have your spirit in subjection or in discipline and things? And that's the key element as to ourselves, because he said he who have no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Now let's look at the third and final point. Jesus became obedient, Philippians 2 and 8. The real test of Christianity is that of obedience. God, can we obey the word of God even when we don't understand why God gave us that command? Obedience is not necessarily an easy and automatic. Jesus prayed 3 times in the Garden of Gethsemane before his submission to his Father's will was complete. We may not always understand every rule and regulation or standard for holiness, but as the Spirit leads us into all truth, as we mature in Christ, we grow towards the perfection God has designed for us. And in the meantime, we should take counsel for those who have authority over us and read our Bible daily and pray for God to lead and guide us. As we do these things, we will mature to be greater Christians and children of God that he's calling us out to be. Now, let us look here. We have talked about the progression of holiness and perfecting holiness in our lives and the relevancy of holiness for every child of God, every believer, whether whatever denomination, whatever faith community you're coming out of, God has that for every child of God. He said, be holy as I am holy, said the Lord. Now, let's look at our closing. When God found us, we was unthankful and unholy. Through the miracle of the new birth, however, we became partakers of his holiness, Hebrews 12 and 10. It took a short time and the power of God to deliver us from sin bondage, but it takes time and a lot of God's word to move us from the traits of sin and the carnal nature towards perfecting holiness. The subduing of the carnal nature and consequent growth into maturity of spiritual man from the story of our relationship with God, it is a progress of moving in holiness towards perfection. We must do more than believe God, but we must also receive salvation and then grow as his disciples or disciplines in our lives of holy disciplines. If we continue in God's word, we will grow in Christ. As we discipline ourselves to obey truth, God lead us on to a more understanding. We may never reach the goal of perfection, but we move towards it every day till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you'll find that over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. It is not a short journey to a spiritual maturity, and the way is not always easy. But if we allow God's word and the ministry which he has given to the church, if we allow it to have its precourse and preeminence in our lives, we will progress and grow. If we continue to follow holiness, we will see the Lord. And so, child of God, holiness is important for the children of God. It is very important, even as God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He had to take Egypt out of the children of Israel. And so it is when we give our life to the Lord, coming out of our spiritual Egypts, we have to also allow God to take those things and those practices that we used to practice in the world or in our spiritual Egypt out of our life of yielding over to God. But we must recognize that the flesh do not want to obey God because God's will brushes up against our flesh and make us uncomfortable. And that's why we see a lot of battles even now that are going on. It is a fleshly battle where that flesh saying, no, I don't want to give that up. When God is crying out, give it up. I have a greater plan for your life. And sometimes that's where the place of the struggle. But guess what, child of God? God's way of holiness is a beautiful, the beauty of holiness is so awesome when you can look back over your life and begin to see what God has done in your life because you have chosen to obey the ways of holiness. And I believe that that's where God is calling back the church to the ways of holiness, the holiness of heart, the holiness of spirit, holiness in our bodies, holiness in our mind, holiness in our attitude, holiness in our thoughts, holiness in our practice, holiness in our way of living. It's a way of life, child of God. And God is calling the church back to that place of holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, said the Lord our God. And that is a powerful place that God has calling us to do as the people of God. And so we as children of God, we must be able to be in the places that God wants us to be. For we serve not an unholy God. We serve a God that is holy and righteous. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but he called us unto holiness. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has given unto us his Holy Spirit. And the Bible said, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourself are taught of God to love one another. And so here the Bible is letting us know that we must possess our body, our vessel, in sanctification and honor. And that still is relevant for the church today, child of God, even though our flesh may not like it, but it's still yet relevant. And I pray in my closing that this lesson has given you a greater understanding of the holiness and perfecting and for the progression of holiness as your progression forward in the things of God. Let the Lord our God lead and guide you into all truth. And if you sincerely desiring God, God will be found of you. The Bible said in my closing, it said Romans 12, 1 and 2 is my closing words. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. How will you know the perfect will of God unless you be holy as he is holy? And by the transforming of your mind, renewing of your mind is in and through the word of the Lord. Come on, child of God. Let us go on higher. Let us go on to perfection. Let us progress forward in the things of God. And in my closing, as you all know that If you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one prayer away. The Bible said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you, child of God. Guess what? God loves you. And God is going to bless you in a mighty and a special way. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time on the air and sharing with your people on today. We ask, oh God, that you will open their understanding about holiness and righteousness, Lord. Open their understanding to the things of God, dear God, that they may understand your righteousness and understand your will for their life. And, oh God, we praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. We cast down everything that's not like you, oh God, and we bind the forces of darkness, and, oh God, release your will in every spiritual wickedness that is in high places. We say, God, your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. So be it, child of God. Be ye holy, even as God is holy. God bless you, is my prayer.